Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for April 11th, 2022. Go for it.
I am not sure if this is a question for the mindset or for this.
Well, we can do it here too. Mindset's welcome here.
Okay. So I got that little side job just as a cash grab, and I'm feeling like I'm having a hard time discerning. Like, I was thinking, okay, this is great. I'll just do this. And then I can put all my energy toward, my creative business. But I'm finding that it's working at a college, and I worked at a college for 10 years before, and they are way behind with what they could and should do. And so I'm like, oh, I have this idea and that idea, and I'm feeling pulled into their stuff. And there are things that I'm like, this didn't occur to you? That's common sense. Let me see if I can do these extra things. And then I'm like, wait, no, I don't need to be spending my energy on that. And so it's this sort of back and forth, because I can, and I have the knowledge, and I have the skill and ability, but then I've been exhausted some days. Like, I've been working with them 3 days a week, and it's part-time, and it feels sometimes like I'm coming home and that's what's in my brain at night as I'm falling asleep is, what, how can I help them to know how to run this career fair so people actually show up? And I'm like, wait, I was doing this so that I can do my own creative career and not spend my energy on this.
I'm so thrilled that you have brought this here, this question, because this is such a common little like bit of quicksand that creative folks, especially smart, capable, creative. Ooh, we got some bumps in our roads that are hard for us to handle. And this is one of them. So this is a little bit of quicksand that is so common to fall into. And not only are you smart, capable, and creative, but in this particular instance, you also have experience in this exact market that you're working in, this exact job. Okay. So this is a little bit of quicksand in terms of, I want to have money coming in for cash, but I'm also really trying to pursue this, my creative stuff and the career that really inspires me. Okay. So here's what's going on. It's this combination of, your brain is activated in a very creative way because you know how to do this stuff. And if you do this stuff, you're going to get dopamine hits of rewards of like, nailed it, you know, did it. People are going to be like, oh, Liz, we're so happy to have you here. What did we do without you? Oh, you're just amazing. And that feels great, especially when you're not quite getting that at the moment from your creative career. So there's that going on. Then there's just the ingrained good girl syndrome. They're paying me and, oh, I should show up and do 110%. And in this case, not only should you do, but you could do 110%. That would totally help them out in a big, significant way. And it feels weird going, oh, I actually know how to fix this. Do I fix it? Is it cool or fair or nice or sweet of me to hold back knowledge that could help them? That is tough. I am not saying that's not a tough little spot to be, but there is a bit of ruthlessness that is required in order for you to protect the space that is necessary to do creative work in the world, because it takes a lot of energy to cut through the noise and to advocate for yourself and just to be creative. See, you gotta decide who gets the energy. You gotta decide. And sometimes it feels a little ruthless in a way that is like very uncomfortable, especially when you're like, want to be a good girl and dopamine pellets are on the other side of that. So there's that going on. Then there's a little bit of shadow artist. I don't know if you're familiar with that term from The Artist Way, from Julie Cameron. Shadow artist stuff. It's like, the creative career is not, it doesn't have the momentum that makes it super easy at the moment. And boy, do I know how to do this. And it's creative. I mean, like you said, you know, at night your brain's like this idea and this idea. You're channeling your creative energy into them. And that's what she talks about being a shadow artist is someone who wants to be an artist, but actually is in service of other artists to do their work. And in this case, it's not artists, but it is, you know, your job and the people who want to create the things they want to create for the college. And you're like, oh, I could totally help you. So there's a little bit of, and then the fourth thing is this job has way more structure and very clear goals and to-do lists to get to those goals. It's very structured. And you're not necessarily the one creating the structure. You just need to execute on that structure. Oh my God, does that feel easy, especially for a smart, capable person, rather than, oh, when I look over here at my creative career, it's all vague. And not only do I have to like do the thing, but I have to create the structure in which to do the thing. We gravitate towards structure as humans. It's just like, oh, tell me what to do. So you've got those four elements as this creating this magnetic force that has been drawing you towards putting your energy towards the job. Mm-hmm. So here's where the building of the muscles comes into play. And here's where the deciding on what's important in your life and what your priorities are, even if you and possibly other people don't think you're being a good girl. 3 days a week for whatever they're paying you is the amount of energy they get from you, or else this whole thing doesn't work and you might as well work there full time and get more money. And the tangential to the good girl thing, sometimes people have this component and some people don't. I have it, which is an innate desire to save. Oh, which I have, you know, I'm 51 and it really took till just the last couple of years to understand how to prevent myself from automatically going there and then overextending myself. I have a post-it on my computer that says, your job is not to fix, which also means your job is not to save. Because I need reminding of that, because it's just like an inherent piece of my wiring in nature. And so you're having that too with the good girls, like, ah, save them. Because wow, I'm just watching them fall off that cliff with that career fair. Is it fair of me to watch them do that? Like, is it nice? Like, ooh, it's kind of ugly. Like, ooh, I don't even want to watch it. Yeah. But this is about you restraining yourself. So how does all of that land with you?
It lands well. And one thing that you have in your materials that helped me too is even just talking about pricing. And this doesn't have to do with pricing, but it's like, other people have to buy in and have to sacrifice a certain amount to feel, and I can't do that for them. And I feel like that mindset has helped me a little bit with this, to go, I can't give you everything, because then you don't value it without you having some sort of buy-in emotionally. And yeah, so I think that helps a lot. I feel like one other thing, though, that's happening is at the job, they've had high turnover, they've had leadership issues. And so I'm in a satellite office with three other people, and one of them was just hired as the arts career counselor, which I used to do. And this person doesn't seem super capable. And I just feel like a lot of the conversation there is around political stuff. And there was a book they're reading for professional development that my boss said, I don't have to read since I'm just a temp, but I'm required to sit there and listen to the conversation during the staff meeting. And I'm like, last week I had headphones on. We're all on Zoom. We don't have to be on camera. And I'm like, how can I make it so that I can crank up this music I'm listening to and drown out? Because I just don't even want to focus on this, because I know my brain, one day I'm like, ooh, I'm going to go read this other book that, you know, disagrees with what you're reading, and let me go to the library and put this on hold. And then what am I doing? This is a detour. So it's not always just what's outside the office. Sometimes it's the coworker that wants to vent to me, and I'm like, eh, I feel for you. And also, this is not my stuff.
Yep. Ooh, I'm very happy that there is a part of you that's in that going in that direction. Because let's look at their ecosystem right now. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right about they have to be buying in to me and putting some skin in the game to get all that I have. Mm-hmm. And if you give them all that you have without the buy-in, that is what they then consider your baseline. Oh, this is what we can get from somebody for only 3 days a week, which isn't a good thing for them to know because it's not actually true. Mm-hmm. If they wanted all that you could give them, your position should be a full-time position. Like, obviously they need somebody with your skill set for full-time to really help. Mm-hmm. But education, nonprofits, these large cruise ships of institutions take a very long time to turn. There's a lot of politics, mm-hmm. and there's a culture there that you cannot fix, that you can't even make a dent into. You will exhaust. That's why there's a high turnover rate and high exhaustion, because lovely people like you who are like, I'm going to help. And then it's just like, oh, I'm so tired. I can't move this cruise ship all by myself. So you have to recognize, okay, I'm on a cruise ship and I have no power to steer. So what is, I'm not asking this of you. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, what is your job? Your job is not to make things worse. Your job is to be fully like present in the time that they're paying you to be there. And your job is to be useful, and on top of useful, helpful, and then go home. Mm-hmm. And if there's lunacy, crank that music up. And if you don't want to have somebody vent, because here is the thing, is it's not like you want to stay here forever. So as long as you're pleasant and nice, you can learn how to say to people, you know, like, ooh, I would love to hear you out, but I don't have the bandwidth for this right now. So I'm sorry.
Yeah. Learn. It's been tricky because I sit in the receptionist area. And so they all come out of their offices and hang out and talk to me.
The vortex. Like the vortex. Yeah. So, but okay. And these are people like above you or collegiate or?
I mean, I've had the same job that they've had, mm-hmm. In the past.
Right. But
I'm right now I'm hired as a temp, just
right.
As a administrative okay. assistant type of job. So,
right. So here's something I want to say to everybody listening. You can expend energy when you're a smart, capable, conscientious person being irritated that your boss and other colleagues are wasting your time by having this chitter chatter with you. And why aren't they just letting you get back to work? Hey, they are using the time they have with you there. And if they want to use it to chitter chatter at you, or vent at you or whatever, it's like, okay, well, I guess this is part of my job. So I'm not going to be, you know, I'll just work at the speed that I work. And then if you're ever called on the mat of like, Liz, I don't know, we're just not getting the productivity out of you that we had hoped for when we hired you, you just go, yeah, you know, is it okay if I wear my headphones, or is it okay if I like set these boundaries? I think they would really help me. I'm just like in the reception area and everybody likes to talk with me. You know, is there something like a little thing I could put on my desk where if it's green light, you can talk, and if it's red, and I'll just always keep it on red. Like, you know, like you can address that if they ever bring it up as a problem. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, that's what they're paying you. And I learned this when I was an organizer. I had some really wealthy clients, And I'd be working away and they would just kind of leave the room because they didn't really want to work with me. Mm-hmm. They just wanted it kind of done, but there were questions I needed. And they would, and then I'd be like, are they coming back? Because I'd finish and need their input next. And then I'd be wandering around their house trying to find them. And for me, at first, it was irritating because I'm like, oh, you could be working faster. Like I need you here. And then I was like, hey, if they want to pay me this much money an hour to wait for them in this room, that's their choice. And so then I would just wait for them in the room and not worry about it because they're making that choice. Mm-hmm. I don't have the leverage. Yeah. And if the money isn't the leverage, which it usually is for most people, but for some people, it's just not the leverage. And so it's like, not my problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this really, oh, this is so good. I don't mean this is so good what I'm going to say. I mean it. This is so good about the situation that you're finding yourself in, because not only is this job giving you cashola, awesome, but on top of that, it's really giving you this opportunity of like, oh, I get to experiment with functioning quite differently than I normally would or used to. And I get to build some muscles here that I'm just not, I don't have yet. This is exciting. And you get to use the extra energy now to start putting some plans and structure around your creative career so that on the days where you're not at school or the days where you're, you know, coming home with some extra energy, it's like, I want you to be excited to dive into the creative career. Mm-hmm. To be covered with sequins and feathers and just be like, that's the magnet. And this is just the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I hope that helps. I'm really excited to hear how it feels. It's going to feel weird.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's always been like, I don't know. I'm working at a public institution. And it's like, are you wasting taxpayer money? Like I have this big, huge moral dilemma in my head. And I'm like, they're disorganized. This is not, I can't, you're right. I can't move the huge cruise ship.
Yeah. And that is sad. And that is unfortunate. It's just not your job. Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. And this is advice for side biz stuff, for job stuff. If you wanted to move up the ranks in this particular mm-hmm. school system, this would not be the advice I'd be giving you. I'd be giving you a whole other set of advice, which still would not be give 110%. It would just be more strategic and blah, blah, blah. But this is in your situation. This is the only way you can play it in order to build your creative career to where you don't even need the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm only there. I mean, this is a contract position through the end of June. So I really don't need to be spending hemorrhaging energy on it.
Yep. And good. I'm just showering some praise on you for having this awareness so quickly. So we're not doing this conversation in mid-May. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So well done, Liz.
Thanks. I feel like the awareness is there. It's sometimes the transition takes time, like the mindset transition of, I understand the issue, but feeling okay about it and knowing how to navigate it is tricky sometimes.
And for you and everyone else, exactly what you said. Okay, you have the awareness, but then getting comfortable with the making the shift outside your normal wiring. And what I'm saying is like, yeah. Just lean into that discomfort. It may never feel comfortable. It may never get comfortable. It's like, just keep leaning in hard to protecting yourself.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else?
Since there's no one else around, I'm going to leave and get a walk in before I take my next class. Wonderful to see you. Good luck, Elizabeth. And Hasta luego.
Thanks, Raquel.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm at work right now, so I didn't like have a question, but I don't know if that, tell me if this is like a cash flow question or not, but I feel like it definitely relates. So I just had my exit interview and I was pretty honest about why I'm leaving. I wasn't being valued, obviously, but I didn't say that, but it sort of involves like the, this vice president, like retaliating against me. And then there was like no HR at the company. So like, there wasn't like a way for me to, really report it or anything. So anyway, I guess like I told the person who's giving me the exit interview, even though she's not like technically HR, but I asked her if this would be like part would be private or not, like telling her the stuff about the VP. And she said, yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't have to tell like the CEO about this or anything. I mean, it's like definitely an issue for the company. Like this VP is like, it's a problem, but, also, I don't really know if I want to be like the person who blows the whistle or anything. I don't know. Anyway, I just was curious what you thought about like if I should say she can talk about it or not. I don't know. This might not be a cash flow question though. So, but that's like the question on my mind right now. So I just thought I'll just ask it.
Can I ask you a question? Because I have never actually had like a real job. What is an exit interview? Is it they're just collecting like feedback that might be able to help them? Is that the purpose of it?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So they're just kind of interviewing you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they ask you questions like, what was your favorite part of working here? Ha ha ha. I was like, let me dig deep. and then there's like a section about like what you can improve and why are you leaving, and they have an attrition problem. So I'm not, and actually like two other people, like since I put my notice in, like people are like coming out of the woodwork. I'm just like so that's what an exit interview is, like taking like an inventory.
Okay, thanks. So first thing that hits me is that if you decide that you do want to say something about the VP,
yeah,
do you think it might be better for you to write your own statement about that rather than have this person who interviewed you kind of translate it on your behalf? I just think if you're going to make a statement, you want to make it with as much clarity.
Yeah.
Your own words, then have it, you know, the game of telephones, things kind of get, and they can't really come back necessarily and like get it from you. So if you decide to do it, I think I'd recommend you do it that way. And you don't even have to tell the person, you just like can submit it, you know, after the exit interview, I just wanted to pass this one last thing on.
Yeah.
So then whether or not to do it, I mean, when you're going back and forth, like what are your pros? What are your cons? What do you feel?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the only reason I would do it is because I sort of, in my other jobs I've had, like I have a track record, including when I was like in theater, of like not speaking up. And so I just want to make sure, like, however I'm leaving this job, because I'm so clear. I mean, this is like, you know, a job in a long line of jobs where I've put forth like excellent work and not been recognized for it. And it's a pattern I have, you know, that's a pattern that's on me. I have this pattern. And so like, I just want to make sure I'm like exiting and like kind of rounding off the edges, like really like growing from this. And I just can't tell if that like involves being really honest about why I'm leaving, or not.
And do you feel that by speaking up about this particular VP, what are your hopes in doing so? Do you feel like that person has a pattern that's just going to be repeated with more employees? And that's
going to be, yeah. She's a bully, but she's like, yeah, she's a bully. Yeah. I feel she did to me because, you know, nobody called her out before, like all the people who came before me, which I get because I've like, see you later, run away fast, yeah. You know? And so I was thinking about that. Like, what's my responsibility to the people who come after me with this person?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely,
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is totally your choice. I'm not going to like weigh in on like, yes, we should totally do it. Cause there's reasons. There's always like different variables. If you do decide to do it and you do make your own kind of statement, what I think, cause you're like, okay, if you're going to go through the emotional labor of writing up a statement, you want it to have the most impact it can have. And so I think that you want to craft it so that it's really coming across as, these are the reasons why this behavior, how it impacts other people and how it affects your bottom line.
Right. Right.
You would frame it not like she's a bully and it sucks and it hurts and that's why people are leaving. It's like, here's a dynamic that this person is creating with her direct reports. This is what it feels like, and this is how it impacts the working environment. And this is how that detrimental working environment impacts your bottom line. I just wanted to outline this in case you wanted to take a look. So you'd really want to break it down for them and take it out of vagueness of like bully, because that's a relative term. You want to find ways to describe it that aren't so relative. It's like, when someone's doing this, it makes me not want to do this. And if I'm not doing that, then this is how it affects the company. And that could be, that doesn't have to, and you're pointing out to them, that doesn't have to be the dynamic.
Right.
But it's what's generated by this person.
Yeah.
Do what you want. Now, you know, that's all. So that would be my 2 cents on how to make that statement land best with them. And I'm not that I thought you were going to do a personal attack, but you want it to be very business oriented.
Yeah.
Pickles. Well, that explains it. You have a pug.
So loud. You know, it's funny because in the last play I ever did, it was not my play. It was like the director's play. And that like actually led me to leave playwriting. And it's just like this pattern that I have that I feel is like affects my own cash flow. Like, and it does affect the company's cash flow because I'm one of the top strategists. I'm leaving. That's on them, you know, but like, you know, yeah, I do feel it also like the inability to like speak up in a way that like that I'm confident with, you know, like talking about security, like the security of responding. And there's like many moments in my relationship with this person where I wish in the moment I had, and it's okay. Like, but.
So with that in mind, this might be a really good exercise for you to do. And then after you do it, you can then decide if you want to submit it or not. But even just like, I'm going to take all this emotional stuff
right,
and see how I can translate it and verbalize it in a way that makes it a little more concrete.
Yeah.
And clearly connecting the dots around it, because doing that exercise might help you in the future to handle the first red flag.
Right.
And then the second red flag, you know, instead of letting it build up and then wanting to flee, which is totally understandable. Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe just do it as an exercise first, and then separate from that, decide if you want to submit it.
Yeah. I think that's so true. I think that's like the, yeah, that feels like the right answer to the personal growth, because it's like, is it submitting it or is it just getting clear for myself? Like, how does this kind of behavior affect ROI? Because then that's also affecting my own. Oh, because so, you know, that campaign I was managing on the side and I didn't ask for the money.
Oh, yeah.
I asked them and I said, hey, I just was so excited to work with you guys. And we never discussed payment. Here's my fee. And have not heard back.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. So my question to you is, have you done more work since?
No.
Okay, good. Then just stop doing work till you.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm like, but you know, that's another example of like speaking up. And then I have this fear, person's not going to like me. Person is, you know, not going to like me. But yeah, just anyway. Yeah. I think this is going to be good to look at why how does bullying like affect, you know, especially like as an empath, I feel like put upon naturally by people. So like,
just, you know,
like just being in the room with someone, I'm like, oh God, like
contain yourself,
please take a Xanax. I can feel all your stress. But it's like helps to really get clear more on how does that affect cash flow? You know, like, cause people work with bullies all the time, you know, and things get done. So maybe I can get more clear on that. Cause that's been an ongoing issue for me. Like I'm really scared of bullies. And so maybe that can like get me clear about it.
Yeah. And understandably so. And another point that you can parse out for the owners of this or the CEO is there are some employees you're going to have who are wired in a way that they can take a kind of harsher dynamic with their superior. It kind of flows off their back.
Yeah.
The stuff they learned in childhood kind of set them up to handle that. They have coping mechanisms.
Right.
But you're going to have other employees who are wired more like me, empathic. You know, I really feel energy. And when it's directed at me so harshly and so personally, that totally affects me differently than that other employee. And as, you know, a boss, I, you know, hope that this is something you are always interested in becoming more aware of, since, you know, you're managing a growing company. You know, you just, you know, oh, I know that you want to know this because you want to do the best.
I know.
But I think that's the answer.
Yeah.
To when a higher up goes, yeah, but like, I don't understand it. She's been fine with everybody else who's worked here.
Right.
Here's the answer to that. It's not that I'm crazy. It's that everyone is different and not everyone takes on the emotional labor of trying to describe this to you.
Yeah. That's so true.
You know, I've been in other jobs where I've been the quiet one, you know? And so what this exercise, what I hope it translates is for in the moments when you have the encounter of like, whoa, inappropriate, responses from people or whatever, you'll feel it. But then sooner rather than later, you'll be able to translate for yourself, oh, this isn't good. And this is why it's damaging to the company and to the bottom line and to the cash. Like, you'll be able to connect those dots. Just, you want to have it second nature, not in the moment of the exchange, but later. And like, and so that you can then go to your boss and connect the dots for them rather than going to them with just all the emotion.
Right. Well, I feel like we talked about this on the last cash flow session about how I'm baked and like ready and like the time, it's time to lead. And I feel like this would be an opportunity, even if I don't send it, like this would be an opportunity for me to lead myself and sort of steer my ship. Cause like, yeah, cause it is like an issue. Yeah. It's just how to frame it. Yeah.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. And I would also suggest that if you, you know, you're starting, you're getting your thoughts together, you're, you know, rough outlining kind of, and if it gets to feel too much, step away from it.
Yeah.
You can submit this in like a month. It doesn't matter. She's an evergreen problem. So like, don't feel like I got to pound this out in an afternoon. Like, no, you don't.
Right.
Don't let it suck you dry. Just work on it a little bit and keep massaging it. Cause this is an exercise about you and your voice.
Right.
Articulating an issue.
Right. Oh, right. Because, well, because like you had also said, like on the other side of like accepting the leadership and realizing and not look, you know, playing up the like, oh, I'm really 25, you know, when I'm 40, like the other side of that is going to be much richer for me. And I think about that in terms of finance, you know, like it, yes, richer, like in the tapestry of my life, but also like financially, it's literally richer. And
yeah.
Thank you. That was really helpful.
Good. I'm very happy to hear that. I'm very happy you brought that up.
Thank you. I know I wasn't sure how it was a cash flow thing, but I feel like it is, you know,
it's all about the muscles that you're building that will help you with cash flow. That's why I love business this conversation. That's why I coach this and why I'm so stimulated, because it's about this, but then it's about everything else really.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it affected my playwriting too. Like this whole thing, like, you know, like it really, so yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Good, Clara. Good. Anybody else? Hi. You're allowed to choose one. What was it? One. Oh, one genre and one accessory. Killed me. That was so funny. That whole scene. Great. But anyway.
I only have a little bit of a voice.
Okay.
I'm actually not sure if this is a casual question either, but and I've already talked to my agents about it, but I'm, you know, we only get like a tiny relocation fee when we move to another city. So for season two of Severance, it's like a $10,000 relocation fee for like basically being there the whole year. Mm-hmm. And my landlord here in LA is asking that I no longer sublet my place here. So I asked my agents, I was like, can we just go to Apple and like ask for season two that I get like a full, you know, like stipend for rent? And they were like, yeah, we can certainly ask. It's like really rare that they do that. And I'm wondering if there's any like way of strategizing that's just like, this should be normal.
That this should be normal?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I think I've just been so scrappy, like for 10 years of like, yeah. I'll get subletters whenever I have to be out of town. And just feels like the kind of thing where Apple probably has the money to pay for an apartment for me while I'm there. And look, my lawyers and agents are going to go and like ask, but I'm just wondering if there's anything that you can think of that's like a business way to think about myself and advocate for this in a way where it's not like, oh, like, please, you know.
Where do you guys film?
We film in the Bronx. So last year I lived in Hastings on Hudson, small river town just north of the city. I mean, and it was like $2,500 a month for a 2-bedroom, you know? So we're not talking about, like, I'm not getting like a $6,000 apartment or something. Like, I'd be thrifty.
So just so I'm understanding, the $10,000 is for you to then pay lodging for yourself in New York.
It's called a relocation fee. So yeah, it's just,
but like, it doesn't take into consideration the fact that you have a place here that you would need to keep while you're there. Okay. And did your landlord say why the no subletting?
I think something must have happened with one of his other tenants. He's allowed me to do it for the past 7 years. And I think what I might do, I'm talking to a friend about like becoming my roommate, you know, because he's in like an interim period. but that's a little bit up in the air. And
that's the side. I was just, you know, wondering. So I'm glad you're thinking about that. Gosh, it feels like something SAG would have to require.
Yeah. And they just don't. It's not.
No. And it would need also, if they put something in place, it would almost need to be done on a percentage basis rather than a flat basis. You know, like if someone's living somewhere cheaper and they, you know, so it could be dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Britt, it's like so bittersweet. Yay, second season, but oh, wait a second.
I mean, the same thing happened last year, but I was able to have a subletter here, so it didn't pinch, you know, and I'm trying to like put myself in the shoes of someone who might like be a little bossier or something.
Well, I think you're, the fact that you have your agents and lawyers on it, that you're even making the request, puts you a step up for people who just be like, oh, I don't want to make waves.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I mean by bossy. I guess I just mean like assertive and.
Yeah, assertive of like, I need this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I can't do it, but like paying for rent on two coasts for a whole year is, it's a lot.
It eats up your profit margin. Like now it's just a zero sum game. Oh gosh.
It's okay if there's nothing. Maybe I just wanted to voice it, you know, yeah. With no voice.
Right. Have you asked around if anyone else has encountered this problem and how, if they were able to get special compensation or?
Yeah, well, I know my manager has like, you know, half a dozen anecdotes about her other clients who also, you know, have this kind of sticky spot when they have to relocate.
But is her mindset, your manager's mindset, more like, well, you just got to put up with it or eat it? Or is it, this is not fair?
That's a really good question.
Because I like that you have your reps advocating. The thing we don't know is how hard are they advocating? Like, are they painting the picture in vivid color or just pastels?
Yeah, maybe it's that I talked to my lawyer directly about it.
Yeah.
Because he represents like huge names, you know, that probably do have a little bit more like sway.
Yeah. And the other thing in something like this is, even if you have people asking for you, you want to make sure they're asking the decision maker, not just stopping with the gatekeeper who's like, well, we don't do that across caste. That's just not our policy. We haven't. It's like, you're not talking about policy. You're not talking about something they have to give everyone. It's not a favored nations thing you're trying to set up. It's, I need this.
Yeah.
So who can say a special yes? Mm-hmm. Because you're not at all this. It's interesting because this request is not actually something that puts anybody out. You're not like, I only need to have organic food on set. And you're not being, this is literally so you can do the best job possible.
Yeah.
And the reason it wasn't requested in season one is because your circumstances were different.
Right.
And so
right, and things
this
changed.
Is literally a line item that somebody high enough up could just be like, oh, whatever. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So I guess the only thing I can think of right now is that when your reps and or lawyer come back with a, well, they said, blah, it's like, okay, who did you talk to? Like, are you talking to the person who can actually, and do you have, what are your concerns with going higher up the ladder? That's a really nice question to ask them, because you're not asking them, you're not fighting for me. What, you don't believe? It's just, what are your concerns so that I really understand your perspective on this? Cause you know,
yeah, you know, as I'm talking about this, it's making me think too, another thought that I had about having an assistant, and I'm wondering, maybe there's a way to have it be a one for one where it's like, cause I'd like to hire an assistant for being, you know, on location with me, but it would be better if it went through their payroll, because then I wouldn't have to, because I have a solo corporation, the way that my retirement fund is set up, it's better if I'm only the employee. So maybe there's a way to say, like, instead of helping me pay for my housing, can this go towards hiring a personal assistant for me on set?
Yeah.
And then that would be more in the way of, like, I mean, I don't know if they do that. Like, I know other actors had personal assistants last year, but I don't know if they were paying them directly or if the company was.
The only way to know is to ask.
Yeah.
And as long as the asking is done, you know, from a place of consideration and, you know, just... this would be very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the kind of thing where it's like probably the rent in New York is around $3,000 a month. And so this is the budget I'm asking for, or like to go in with a very specific number?
For covering LA, you mean? Or for the assistant, or?
For covering, yeah, I mean, I guess there's like three ways of talking about it. Like, cover my LA rent so I don't lose my house, cover my New York rent so that I have a place to stay while I'm there, or cover the equivalent of what those would cost for an assistant for me.
And then your question is, do you go in kind of with a range, or do you come in with a specific number?
Yeah, is it like, I need $30,000 to live for 10 months in New York, or could you hire me a part-time assistant at this salary?
Yeah. I think if I'm making the request, it is kind of a specific number. And I would do the assistant thing. I don't know you, but my feeling is I would do the assistant request after the housing request doesn't work.
Okay.
Then it's like, okay, what about this? Like, I need support. And if it's not going to be there, this is another way to do it rather than an either or. I don't know though. I don't know. I don't want to confuse them because it might be one person who can say yes to the housing budget and one person who could say yes to the assistant.
Or is it like, maybe my lawyer would know best, but like, is it best that like just ask for both? And then if I get one.
Ooh, okay. That's what I'd play. Yes. It's always, 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 always better to ask for more because then you have negotiation room. When you ask for what you want, yeah. Ask for both.
And then the end game would be like hopefully getting one.
Something more than $10,000. It's very interesting. The $10,000 is a number they literally pulled out of air.
It's pretty common. It's what I got when I had to move to Toronto 3 years in a row. And I actually would only get it, I think I only got it once. And then each subsequent year, I don't think they gave it to us. You just have to like figure it out.
Wow.
It's so crazy. And it's why it's so, you know, there's not a lot of transparency around that.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think that you have to ask. You have to. It's the only way you get. And
yeah,
dudes are asking for stuff, as we know. You know, not to put a binary on it like that, but it's like, yeah, asking is not unheard of.
Yeah.
They want you to feel it is. You just don't. The secrecy and everything is just to put a hoop, so many hoops to jump through that you're just like, no, it's not emotionally worth it.
Totally.
Yeah. So ask for both and see what you can get.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah. And I would.
I want to be reasonable, but it's also like, oh, wow. I've been just like super scrappy these for over a decade. Like, I've had like, I get like 30 different people sublet different rooms of mine over the years.
Yeah.
It's such a hustle. And then you come back and like your stuff is weird, you know. And I've made it work. It's been fine.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's like that's the part-time job to do that.
Mm-hmm. I love the roommate idea. And that's another thing to think of is you have been scrappy. And now you're going to ask for a life that's a little less scrappy. I think your lawyer is probably the best one to kind of be the muscle behind this. And what was the other thing? It is not like you're asking an independent film company for this either. It's Apple. Let's just keep that in mind, you know? Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, I'm good. Congrats on season 2. I hadn't heard about that yet.
Yeah, we got picked up and we had our finale premiere this weekend. I talked to more people than I have in 2 years in one night. So,
my above the music. Like,
I'm out. So, yeah. Thank you, Christine. Appreciate you helping me sort through.
Yeah, and I'd love to know how it plays out just for my own edification.
Yeah.
Because it's like I'm shocked that it's not something that is negotiated with the actor based on their particular circumstances. That's just, it's sort of like $10,000 is nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just strange.
It's the kind of thing too where like during my negotiations it was just for context, you know, obviously I I was going to take this role. Like it was the role of a lifetime. So their ability to negotiate wasn't as strong as if it was something I would have walked away from. And same with season two in a way. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to walk away from this job.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So they have a little less wiggle room. But that said, like, you know, anyway, wait, someone asked me a question. Yeah, essentially the 10,000 is just like to get yourself. I mean, they pay for your flight to get there, but yeah, I think it's just like it's just called a relocation fee that's supposed to help you like pay for the incidentals of getting to a new city.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, well, also she's getting her salary, but it's like, that's supposed to be on top of that's what I will then live off in the other years where I don't have this job. Like, yeah, really.
Especially if it's not your primary residence.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Hi, Regina. She got something.
Hi.
You don't have to. I'm just asking. No pressure.
Well, I did send a question in last night. I don't know.
I didn't.
It was just a little question.
I don't think I got the form. I'll have to look at that. Okay.
I just was kind of thinking. I put my website in the chat. So for Peaceful Pets, for the Reiki and Crystal sessions, I don't have anything like if someone has more than one pet. And I mean, I'm fine, I guess, if I charge, you know, $200 per session for the human, the pet, and their space for that session. I guess because I charge extra for an additional pet when I'm pet sitting, I started thinking about that because I do sessions for one of my regular clients on her dogs. It's really for her one dog who's has a lot of behavioral issues, but the other dog is there too and gets the benefit of it, I can tell, which is fine. And I mostly focus the session on the dog that has the behavioral issues anyway, but it was just something I was thinking about, like, oh, but this could be a scenario in the future where there's three dogs or, you know, and then that would be like a little more time because they'd have, you know, if I'm being thorough, I'm doing the same sort of technique or whatever over each dog. So then I don't know. I just wanted to talk about it with you. Do you think I need to add, you know, a little blurb underneath, like each additional dog is this much? I don't know.
Yeah. So there's a difference between I am going to work with this dog. And if you want your other dog to hang out with us during the session, cool.
That's fine.
But I'm doing this thing for this dog. But if you want a Reiki session for this dog and this dog, then it's this much. Then I think it's like, yeah, you add so much money per animal that the client wants you to legit like focus on. So what I'm hearing you say is that it's possible for you to do the voodoo that you do with three dogs at a time. It just also will take you longer because you're literally doing the focus on each of the dogs.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think you should get an extra amount of money per animal that the client wants you to include in the focus of the session.
Okay. And do I just maybe put a little blurb, like if the focus is going to be on more than one dog, email me and I'll send you the rates because it's added time or something like that. Or do I just put underneath my each rate package, put it somewhere in there, like each additional dog is, and I don't know what it should be.
Okay, let's look at this separately. We'll attend to the price in a minute.
Sure.
So I think the blurb should say something like, if you want this session to focus on one specific animal and you have another animal that wants to hang out with us, that's totally fine. However, if you would like me to focus on two or more animals within the same session, then I add 50 or whatever amount per animal. So explain it like that. Like if you have an animal that I'm focusing on and you have another animal who just wants to hang out and soak up the vibes.
Right.
No problem. Just explain it like that.
Okay. Say,
but if you would like me to focus the Reiki on multiple animals during one session, then it's this much more per session.
Okay.
Yep. You can just put that in a little fine print.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then how much?
Yeah, I immediately went to 50.
And how does that feel?
It feels weird. I already have back talk.
Mm-hmm. What's the back talk?
Well, how did you come to that amount? Like some weird critical future possible client would be like critical of it, like that. Mm-hmm. How did you come to $50 per dog? And then I debate with it. Well, it's added time. So, okay. So I don't know. That's just, but yes, that feels okay to me. Once I get through that initial conversation with the lizard brain.
And how long is a regular session with one animal that you're focusing on?
It's like 60 to 90 minutes.
Okay. And then if you add a second animal that you're also equally focusing on,
that'd be another 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Then $50 sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about 20 minutes per animal.
It's the same reasons why a lot of therapists charge more for couples therapy than for an individual. Cause it's like, it takes three times the amount of energy to hold space for and maintain a focus on and listening for two people.
Yeah.
Than it does for one. It's so true. Organizing. Oh my gosh. When I was working with a couple, it was just like, okay, this is going to, I didn't charge more, but it was like, this is going to take a lot out of me. Cause it was like, you don't want someone to feel you're playing favorites. You're just, the worst though, wasn't the couple. The worst was I have my client and I show up and they're like, oh, I have my friend Betty come over to help us today. And I'm just like, oh, now I have to manage Betty, and Betty's this wild card and Betty has her own ideas and wants to be helpful. You know, it's like, it was just always, no, please, no. Whenever we needed assistance, I always brought the assistance.
Yeah.
Cause I could manage them with, oh, but it was just like, two people is not just, it's exponential. It's not necessarily just like,
right.
Double the word. Yeah. So.
I guess I should add in, like, in case somebody's like, oh, well, I want my husband or my daughter to be a part of this too. Cause if I'm doing a session, I do it on, you know, I do like 20 minutes on the human, 20 minutes on the pet, 20 minutes on the space.
I think that
I won't run into that much.
When those scenarios arise, you then need to tell the client, okay, I love that you want the family there. You have a choice. We can pick one of the pet parents to focus on in the session. And the other folks can just come and soak up the vibe. But if you would like me to focus on each human, in addition to the pet, then for each additional human, it's also $50.
Right.
Because it's just, it takes more out of me to include that and hold that space. And then they have a choice of like, no, just do it on me. And then my husband and daughter will just like soak it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And that conversation is you being the leader.
Yeah.
The expert of like, I know how this goes. I know what you want, but I can tell you, you won't get what you want unless it's in this container, the way I'm structuring it. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say about Britt's issue. It's so interesting to find out that at every level, you kind of have to, because I'm doing commercials right now and I'm seeing how like, oh man, have to tend with like the being taken advantage of because we want to work so badly, and we will take, you know, things that are a lot less now than they were 10 years ago or whatever. And so, and it's just like little stuff that seems pretty common sense, but it's just interesting to know that at every level, you're going to have to be like, no, I wasn't going to move to that city. So you've got to include that.
And that's why it's so valuable. Every time you have this kind of conversation with your pet clients, it's the same muscle.
Yeah, right.
Britt is now using when she's like, I would like to ask someone for the, it's like, it's the same muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can develop it, and you develop it when the stakes are lower, still uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Because I've never tended with this before, but in asking certain questions of my reps, you know, and it's scary, but I've been doing it. And I really do think that I've been getting cast or working because I've been in this program. And I think subconsciously, I trust myself more to be able to handle situations. And I just think I was so afraid before, like, oh God, what if I get on set? So much pressure, la, 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 la. I don't know if I can handle it, but having worked out these muscles here and creating cash flow, I really think that put me in a place of like, okay, bring it on. I can do it. And then the universe was like, okay. And then it's been happening. So yeah. Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome. That's why this interests me so much, because it just has ripples effect. And when you are trying to do something and asking for money for it,
yep,
that's just all the muscles. It just creating any sort of cash flow just uses all the muscles. So if you engage in this activity, you're just going to get all the muscles you need. And then as you go on, just like you said, like you're getting really good. You've gotten so good at like 8 pound.
Yeah.
So you're like, and people can see these biceps, and that's why I'm being asked. And Britt's just like, oh, okay, I'm up to 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Ooh. So it all just keeps growing. Mm. Yeah. What we hope though is like, oh, you get the series and I can put the weights down.
Right. No, really, forever.
Yes.
Yes. I never have to pick up another weight.
And then a lot of folks are like, oh, okay, well, if I get the big job, I can put down all the weight. So maybe I can get to the big job without ever having lifting weight.
Yes. Oh my
God. I don't want to pick them up ever. And then maybe I'll just be saved. And it's just like, oh yeah, that's not how that works.
This is my brain. Exactly. Yeah. And so we see like, no, when you get the big job, like you put down that weight, that 20 pound weight, and you pick up the 30 pound weight, Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. But you can do that. Britt can is now with the 20 pound because she's worked her muscles up to be like, I'm going to make this request.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always like, yeah, start now. Just start. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I like the way you're thinking. I like the way that you can choose $50 to start with and then deal with the chatter. Move forward.
And like the fact that this has been bubbling. This is also talking about this here now has plugged up an energy leak. Cause this, I think, was sort of burning in the back of my mind for quite some time. And it just didn't come to the forefront, and it hasn't really come to the forefront. Not really, but things have been busy but easy with my side hustle, easier because I also raised my prices last year and that's made my life a little easier. And so it's very interesting to me that this has popped up on its own without like, oh God, a client's asking about two dogs. Now what do? I got to get back to them. I don't know if I can wait for the next coaching session. This hasn't happened yet, but I'm more strategizing. All right. I'm really a business woman now, a business person now.
Your brain is starting to think that way and can see things ahead and be like, huh, what about this? And what I love for you about your particular business is that for your business to like just literally mechanically work for you, you have to be in really good energetic alignment. Or you can't be an energy provider to people.
Yeah.
So the worst thing for your particular business, especially, but for anybody's business, is to be like, okay, the client had two dogs and she expected me to do both. So I did it, but now I feel kind of slightly resentful. Mm-hmm. And now I just set a precedent. So how do I have the conversation with her? And that just puts you out of energetic. And then all of a sudden things are going wonky and you're like, why? It's because clean, tight, clear money conversations are not being had.
Yes. Yeah.
And the first kind of step is having them in the moment, but you're already on to the next step, which is having them with yourself in advance of the moment, and pre-deciding like, oh, I think I'll handle it like this. And that puts you in alignment because then you're like, oh, any question? And then if a curveball comes at you of like, I've got, you know, my daughter and her friend and her pet, and can we all do the party? You're just like, okay, no.
just book the package of three and we'll do one with your daughter and that's one with that family and together. Yeah.
That's like, so then you start getting less worried for whatever comes your way. You're like, oh no, I'll just handle it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Anybody else? We good for today? Feel complete? All right. Sounds good. Go forth. Have a wonderful Monday. Bye. Great to see you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I can't wait to hear about all of the, how this all plays out. So excited.
Have a good day.
All right. Take care. Bye guys.